Would anyone like to ask anything or share anything or their thoughts about the meditation? Just take the mic or the recording. What is your name?
Kamna.
Kamla.
Kamna. If you're asking, let the thoughts come. So two things happen. Either you just get swayed with the thoughts, go in that story, how
Yes.
you do with your regular, or then you tell yourself that, okay, just watch the thoughts. But watching the thoughts would also mean you're kind of taking an effort, right, to detach. So how should it be? Should you just flow with whatever's coming in your mind, like how we do in our regular life, or you take that, even that small effort to, just watch them, right? Yeah.
So see, supposing you are sitting, let's say on Marine Drive and watching the cars go by,
Yeah.
right? You're just watching them go by.
Correct.
But you are watching them go by. You have not closed your eyes. So watching the cars go by is happening.
Right.
What we tend to do in our daily lives is we run after the cars. So we chase the thought in the duration of time, which produces thinking. We get involved in the thought, and a whole story is created out of it. So it can happen in meditation also. I think about what someone said to me about something at work, and then my mind starts getting active and thinking about all
All of
those
that,
things.
yeah, you run with it. Like, even if
Right?
I watch, see the car, I'll remember my story. Oh, I went on this trip in this car, like
Yes.
something you can relate to that car, and you can just then go in that zone rather than even watching the cars, right? Like, it
But
can.
that is the burden of memory. See, in our waking states, unconsciously, we are always thinking. We are thinking about the dead past, or we are thinking about the imaginary future. What I should do, what I should be doing, how I should be, how I should behave, or how I could have been, how I could have this. The shoulds and the coulds. Our waking state is going and living in the past or in the future.
You're telling
Now,
us.
what happens with meditation? The light of witnessing is switched on, which I have not allowed myself in the waking state because I have been too busy with my drama and my story. So now I sit back. And this allowing, you could call it a passive allowing, but the awareness is there. I'm giving a chance to myself to rest in awareness. Otherwise, my life has been too all-consuming. I have not given myself that chance to rest in being. Here I'm just, when I say allowing, it's a pure being.
So
So
even
does being require an effort?
being would not
Being is your natural
theoretically, yes,
state.
yeah, it wouldn't require, but you, as because you're so trained into
Yes.
thinking, like going behind the thought, that you feel it's an effort, that if you have to kind
Exactly.
of
So that
detach,
you, the you wants to be. The
you
you
wants
wants to
to
rest in
being,
being, but that
correct,
you is the problem,
correct.
which it thinks. Now, even I can make myself rest in being. You see how controlling we are? The child never thinks this. The baby, the child up to the age of 1 or 2 years of age, when the ego is not fully developed, is pure being. The child is not thinking, how can I be? The child knows no other way. But this child grows up, the me gets encrusted, my beliefs, my conditionings, my patterns, and now I feel I can control my absence. I want to control everything. I want to control my life. I want to control my meditation. Should I be active? Should I be passive? It's irrelevant. Why? Did you have any control? Do you have any control in deep sleep?
Not really, no.
So you could say you are most at peace in deep sleep because, after all, next morning when you wake up, you say, I slept really well, I had deep sleep. So wouldn't you say that the most peaceful was when you were absent?
So,
You were absent.
yeah.
That is why deep sleep is so peaceful. So your absence is the greatest peace.
And again, it's not something that you make an effort. It'll just come to you if you're just allowing whatever is coming to you.
Yes, so we are gradually, when the ego starts seeing that I have seen everything in my life, all the events I encountered, all my relationships as a split me who saw this happen to me, this person said this to me, this one did this to me. The me center became so strong, and that's how I was living my life. But with meditation, I get this chance to just step back and see, what is this me who thinks it's in charge and it's in control?
So then it doesn't matter, even while I'm meditating, if I'm getting consumed by things, let it be, let it just
yes,
be.
And what will happen is, let's say you think about work, or let's say you've booked tickets for a show.
Yeah.
And suddenly the thought comes, my God, you know, I need to buy one more ticket for my friend. Will I get it? Will I not? At some point you realize, I was aware in the thinking.
Yeah.
Who is that? That is not the me. That awareness of the involvement in the thinking gets cut off by awareness. If the me was in charge, it would have seen to it, it didn't get involved in the ticket story. But the me thinks, oh, I was involved. You were not in charge of that thinking. If you were, it would have been in your control. So this quality of allowing, let's make it very practical. Take one person in your life who you clearly have a view about. It could be any view, that this person is by nature mean, or whatever it may be. You have that one person who you have always felt not good about. Right? Now, keep yourself aside. Supposing, I mean, it may sound a bit odd, this, you bring this person into your consciousness, and there's no me center observing the person. The me center which earlier said this person is like that. You meet the person in pure awareness and allow this person to be exactly the way they are, because your reference center has gone. So what does this imply? This implies, when my judging mind is not seeing through this window of me trying to protect itself and pass judgment on the other, I am allowing people to be as they are, as the Almighty created them. This is an allowing. And you might be surprised that you may think, if I was this person, if I had received the conditioning this person received from childhood, I would have also turned out this way.
You do realize it, like when you think about it logically.
Yes.
You know, like.
So when I start allowing people in my life to be the way they are, I'm more at peace.
Yeah.
So it is an allowing. So my teacher would say, true meditation is witnessing whatever arises in the moment as a movement in consciousness. What does this mean? It sounds abstract. Witnessing whatever arises as a movement in consciousness means the one judging the movement is absent. So when I start allowing things more and more, I'm more comfortable with others and I'm more comfortable with myself.
It's easy to do it when things are okay.
But sure.
But if people or situations are not turning out the way, if it's affecting your personal life per se, or your way of living, then the controlling mind will get activated, because it's like, okay, I can't let this person do this to me. I need to, like, you know, speak up or say or whatever, do something in order to do things my way, right? That,
yes. So there's a difference here. Earlier, I would react to an individual. You did this to me, so I must react.
Correct.
I must protect myself.
Right.
Now, when the understanding is, nobody is the doer of their actions, everyone is an instrument of the divine playing out their script precisely the way it has been written by the Almighty.
Right.
instead of an unconscious knee-jerk reaction to defend myself and protect myself, a response arises. Why? Because I'm no longer now targeting my guns at someone who is doing things to me. Now the understanding has dawned. Nobody is the doer of the actions. Yet, I should not be at the receiving end all the time.
Right.
But because I have allowed myself the dawn of this new understanding, I find I am more and more dealing with the situation which the person has presented
rather
me
than the
with
person.
Rather than the person.
Person.
This obsessions with person starts dropping away.
Yeah. If you're just seeing that they're just an instrument and whatever has to happen.
Yes. It doesn't mean you're allowing yourself to get walked over, but the quality of your interaction starts changing. So this is what I would call meditation in daily living. Sakshi Bhav, witness consciousness. More and more witnessing the flow of life, witnessing how people are precisely the way they have been made, including myself. And really seeing the perfection in God's creation, which I have judged to be imperfect.
Yeah, because if a person is mean to you, that's imperfect, right? Like, that's
to you.
Right. Yeah, to
but
you.
To that person, it's perfection because you deserve to be mean towards. You see, it depends from whose eyes
whose
you are
eyes
looking.
Yeah.
See, a thief, you may say, how could this guy be a thief? But if his father was a thief and taught him thievery, he was bound to be a thief. You have judged him through your eyes. So this is what the American mystic, he was actually, even prior to this current interest in the law of attraction and all that, he was one of the first movers, you could say. He said how his life changed when he started granting people their beingness. He started granting people their beingness. I started allowing people to be as they are. And this obsession, especially as far as his teaching was concerned, Lester Levinson was his name, of wanting to be loved and turning it around to being loving. You see, this wanting to be loved is a very tricky thing.
Yeah, we all want that.
That is the misperception.
Yeah.
The sage does not want that. The nature of the sage is love itself. Why do people come to a sage? They are drawn to the sage prior to words. It's a way of being. Because nobody feels judged when they go to a sage.
Right. Or to God.
It's a way of being.
Yeah.
So when this understanding starts permeating our daily living, we find we are resting more and more in being, our natural state. That is the kingdom of heaven. Is not up there. And you'll be quite surprised that this person who's been troubling you, whom you've been defending yourself against, in your own heart, a thought may arise for that person that I really wish this person peace, because they must be facing their own challenges, which I don't know what they are. Yes, in this relationship, I'm challenged by them. But does it mean they are not facing their own challenges? So a sense of compassion arises because I'm no longer obsessed with me. My eyes are now more open to see this game, this Leela, where everyone is playing their role as per the divine script. So who is to be loved and who is to be hated when all there is consciousness? When the same consciousness functions through everyone, who is to be loved and who is to be hated? You see, this then destroys this life of polarity that I have been living. Love and hate, they start dissolving. They become irrelevant. And then you are at that space where the dualistic love and hate have no room. The nature of the sun is to shine. Does the sun choose which country it will shine its rays on and which it won't? That shining is the light of pure being. That is the quality of the self. Not the individual self, the little me, but the one self of all. That is the sun. And this has to be met in daily living. It cannot be met by going to lectures. It cannot be met by reading scriptures. Your life is your scripture. One has incarnated, as Ramana Maharshi said, to realize the self. Now, we are not going to sit in a cave. Our life becomes our cave. Our household becomes our cave. Our workplace becomes our cave. Our interactions become our cave. Me and the other. All thoughts of separation I grew up with. You see, it's quite a harsh reality because pure being was given a name and was made to respond to that name as a child. Now the child says, this is who I am. And you try telling a, call a child by another name than itself, see how it reacts. That's not my name. Where's the name? Pure being was given a label. And then pure being was not only labeled, but started labeling others by religion, income group, geographical location, and so on. And so I started sticking labels on people's foreheads as I grew up. And what was natural, pure being, got completely cut up. Therefore, when the spiritual masters say that those who have troubled you the most are your greatest teachers, there's a deep truth in that.
You do realize that because that's where you begin to discover.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's all about this me. It is really nothing about the other. It's only about me. It's really, I mean, quite perplexing because you may just find that one day this person you really were troubled by and had a kind of on and off relationship with you might just smile at them and then they won't know what to do. It happens because you're smiling because you've just seen the absurdity of holding them accountable for who they are. You see, because when you resolve your relationship with a particular person in your life, and it doesn't have to be externally resolved, within your own consciousness when that is healed, then you have resolved your relationship with an aspect of yourself. That is the healing. The healing is in one's own consciousness. Yes, Seema?
I would like to know, when certain events take place in your life, then when you think back, of course, it's going back to the past, you feel all that has happened is for the best.
Yes. Now, what does for the best mean?
I mean, suppose an incident which has hurt you, and you feel you have been hurt, but it is a lesson to be learned.
Yes.
And I just want to know, when we retrospect, why does it feel it happened for the best?
Because it happened for the best. This is the school of life. This is the learning. Now, most of us are unconsciously living our lives day by day, recreating and reincarnating into our old selves unconsciously, playing out the same patterns, the same issues. But the person who is on the spiritual path is presented an opportunity to break that. What Goldsmith called the dream of duality being punctured. That opportunity is given to wake up from the living dream of life. So whenever a past memory comes up of a hurt, now it is seen in the light of understanding, which I didn't have earlier. It is seen through the third eye, the eye which is single, not dual. When I see this was the will of God, it happened because it was meant to happen. I got hurt because I was meant to get hurt, but nobody is the doer of their actions. That is my learning. Otherwise, I will live my life hating that person for hurting me and probably wishing to get back at them if I could for hurting me. That is how we perpetuate karma. we are not willing to let go of the action-reaction loop. You said this to me, so I'll say it to you. You did this, so I'll do this. So that tennis match is so constant that I can take it on to the next incarnation. Because I'm not willing to let go. But when past events are seen through the eye of singularity, the chance to let them go is there. And when you say, as you so rightly said, it was a lesson to be learned, then the lesson is learned. Otherwise, you would not even say it is a lesson to be learned, because you're not aware you're learning the lesson. When you're not aware you're learning the lesson, the universe will constantly teach you that same lesson until you learn it. Then we wonder, why are we repeating our patterns? I mean, excuse me. You see? So unconscious living makes all these patterns come up again and again and again. And then I say, poor me, poor me, poor me, poor me. But when it becomes conscious, the chance to lift up the veil of duality has been given. Now, will it be taken? All we can do is try. But try we must. Earnestness is the key. And so I don't make light of it. Of course, it's great to go to any spiritual gathering. But ultimately, it comes down to you and your day. Because imagine you're going once a week or twice a week to a particular whatever it is. But it is not permeating your own life. Then what is the point? You have to ask yourself, because there is only one measure to know if whatever path you are on is the right path. It can be any form of yoga, it can be any teacher, it can be any teaching. Am I more at peace now than I was earlier? There is no other measure. Has my understanding of life not only gotten deeper, but has it directly impacted my daily living? Then you know where you stand. So Lester was quite right. The tragedy is, in school, they don't teach you about happiness, life and love. They teach you about history, geography, biology. And life will constantly teach you about happiness, life, love, till the lesson is learned. So it is really grace. It is a matter of grace to be drawn to gatherings like this. Clearly was not in your control. Let's take you as an example. How did you get here? Can you tell me?
I think I got here because Girish came. My son came across some videos of yours, and he always forwards these to me because he knows I am interested and I have been right from the beginning. So when I listened to your video, I got drawn to those teachings of yours. So
was that in your control?
No.
Was him sharing these videos in your control? So one would call this grace. So now that grace has to be allowed to do the rest of the job. You see, that is the whole thing. This imposter me steps in and wants to fast track its spiritual evolution. It's not required. But yes, it is a good practice. Look at the past. What am I willing to let go of? What am I not willing to let go of? That is the lesson to be learned. Otherwise, I'll be playing out the same patterns, which means my future will also be my past. So at the end of the incarnation, I'll tell myself I lived a wonderful past life because I was operating on the past. Really, it should be there. It should be written when we pass away and a date of birth and death is there. Wonderful past life. It should be written. We are living in the past. All the grudges and hurts we are carrying in our heart are living in the past. They are like rocks, foundation of which is he or she did this to me.
You know, it's like this. When you analyze whatever hurts or whatever has happened, when you think back, you feel, it's been for the best, for the good, you know. And it's a lesson to be learnt as such. But going back into the past is not, right. Is it right or is it wrong?
Going back is fine. Living in the past is not right.
Going back. not living.
Visiting it now and then is okay. But building a house, there is a problem.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I feel whatever hurt I went through is for my best. And I feel it in the moments when I'm really grateful for where I am today, where it brought me. Something hurt me and I went on this unconscious drive to find solace or solution, or there was this, you know, tadpan ki idhar udhar, and then where it finally brought me, and when I later realized where the grace has brought me to this search for something I didn't even know exists, that kind of reassures me that whatever hurt happened to me, it was just course correction.
It just pivoted me
towards something which was meant to be, but so fantastic.
And it pivoted you towards the truth.
Towards which I didn't even know, you know, the phenomena that there is something which is... But then the seeking comes and it's all automatic and you have to witness it. But that reassures me, like I still get so confused sometimes that, you know, if these decisions are right that I'm making or not, or if these things are good or not. But I've seen, you know, the grace is so graceful that time and again, these little things happen where this reassurance comes that, ye moment bilkul correct hai jo ho raha hai. अब तो यहाँ तक आना था तो पीछे जितना हुआ है जो कंफ्यूज था वो भी सही था क्योंकि ये मोमेंट मुझे हार्ट में पता है कि बिल्कुल करेक्ट है ये मोमेंट जो भी है
ब्यूटीफुल
तो वो मोमेंट जो है वो कभी 6 महीने में आता है कभी साल में आता है कभी महीने में 2 बार आता है बट वो अब इतनी रीअश्योरेंस और ट्रस्ट है उस ग्रेस पे कि वो मोमेंट आ जाएगा आगे समझ में आ जाएगा कि जो अभी हो रहा है यू आर कन्फ्यूज बट जस्ट कीप मूविंग एंड दैट मोमेंट कम्स बैक एंड देन पीछे का कोटा गेट्स क्लियर्ड एंड द न्यू कोटा स्टार्ट्स
नो एंड देन यू रीच अ पॉइंट वेयर यू आर इन अ चैलेंजिंग सिचुएशन एंड द ट्रस्ट कम्स एट द सेम टाइम
ओह या टच वुड यस
दैट दिस इज व्हाट इज मेंट टू बी दिस इज द लेसन टू बी लर्नड
इट इज
एंड टू ट्रस्ट दैट
दैट्स माय ग्रेटेस्ट चैलेंज नाउ दैट्स व्हाई माय नेम ओनली वाज केप्ट विश्वास टू कीप ट्रस्ट इट कम्स एज अ चैलेंज टू मी
As long as you don't look forward to getting hurt, so you can keep learning lessons.
But, yeah.
That was the whole trust, walking through the valley of death and realizing the Almighty. I in the midst of you am mighty. I in the midst of you am mighty. If you make your bed in hell, I will be there with you. That is the trust. Birth happened. The story happened. But I latched on to the story. Between the points of birth and death, my story consumed me. Before birth, no story. After death, no story. In deep sleep, no story. So there's so little between birth and death, which is in the waking state, which I'm obsessed with. That is the design of life. Even I didn't create this obsession. God did. Why? To learn lessons. That is the spiritual path. There are different ways I can learn it. Some are drawn to Gyan Yoga, some to Bhakti Yoga, some to Kriya Yoga, Kundalini Yoga. But whatever path, if I'm doing a Kriya, for example, is it impacting my daily life? Now, actually it is bound to, because the purpose of Kriya is to cleanse your channels.
Yeah.
But have you given yourself the opportunity to reassess what you are exactly doing in your lives? How you are relating to people? How you are relating to yourself? That is buddhi. So I may be very happy with my practice, but instead of buddhi, I'm a buddhu. No, it's true. Because there's a disconnect between my daily living and my practice. One has to connect.
So... how I am here, I don't know. I just came in 24 hours suddenly when this was announced. So I relate to what everybody has said and like what Vishwas said. But like you said, like your practice has to connect with your day-to-day living And I've been listening to you a lot since last few months, and Rameshji. And first, I had listened that that 5-question video of Roger Casilli.
Roger.
So his last answer, which really hit me hard. And then I started to listen to you and then Rameshji. So I've been listening about this non-doership and peace in day-to-day living. You say sukha shanti. And some words have really made impact on me, but I'm not able to live them. That's what I feel. Like that acceptance to the happening, acceptance to other, acceptance to myself. And like to think like Rameshji says that love everybody like you have created that person, you know. And like his last word, somebody asked him, that is what he said. So, and to think that your every relationship with anybody is your relationship with God. So when I hear it, I feel very excited and I feel, oh my God, master ki mil gaya. You know, na ab main aise nahi karungi, aise nahi bolungi. But today morning I was listening to you and then I heard this which you said from a book. And I felt, oh my God, Pinky, you are just this. Human beings love their drama so much that they get lost in the processing.
Yes.
So this is what I feel like, even after years and years of so-called being on this path, I don't even know which path I was in. And in last few 2 years, I feel like I'm totally lost. Like I have no path. I have no meditation. Like earlier, I would meditate 3 times a day. But slowly, I started to realize that it's not about meditation. It's about like how I live my daily life. And your videos gave me those words. Earlier, I did not understand. I did not have words to articulate that. So now I feel that acceptance doesn't come. That like you said, like making a house in the past, right? So when the hurts happen, one mind will say, koi doer nahi hai. सब अपना पैटर्न सब अपना कंडीशनिंग जी रहे हैं बट वो अंदर से नहीं जाता है
सो एक्चुअली इट इज द ऑपोजिट अंदर गया है इधर से नहीं जाता है लेट मी एक्सप्लेन यू कुड हैव रिजेक्टेड व्हाट यू हर्ड व्हाट वीडियोस यू सॉ ऑफ रमेश जी माइन रॉजर यू कुड हैव सेड दिस इज रबिश डिड यू से इट इज रबिश
नो
इट्स ऑलरेडी रीच द हार्ट नाउ द माइंड इज ट्राइंग टू प्रोसेस द इंफॉर्मेशन नाउ व्हाट हैपेंस We are conditioned beings. There's decades of past conditioning behind us. We are bound to see things through the past conditioning. It takes time for the conditioning to be transformed and over it. It is a process. So why it appealed to you? Because you know it is true for you. It's already appealed. Now the mind is reintegrating, recalibrating, reprocessing. Every event which happens in its life, it is realizing there's a new way of seeing it, but I'm so conditioned by the past, I can't get away from it. That is part of the process. That is part of the process. Because now you're aware that there's a new way to see things. So it is very normal. But the teaching is already in the heart. Because it has appealed to you, it is what has brought you here.
Yeah, but I don't see the change in exactly. me, my transformation. Like you say, no, violence is also jab hum kisi ki sukh shanti nashta karte.
Absolutely.
So by my words, I feel I nashta karo the sukh shanti
Maybe,
of people.
But that is because of your conditioning. So be it. Fair enough. So you're aware of it. All you can do is try. The earnestness is the key.
So like this morning when I was listening, the Rameshji said that consciousness which has brought you here, will take you and why do you think it will drop you? Yes. And that's what exactly I'm feeling since last 1.5 years. That
You're feeling it will drop you?
Yeah, I feel I'm on a slippery road. Nala mein chali jaungi.
Exactly. So what?
Malum nahi.
That malum nahi is the master key. You are looking for an assurance. To live in that state of malum nahi is the key. Thy will be done. I repeat a pattern, thy will be done. I'm aware I repeat a pattern, thy will be done. Is to hold hands with the teaching and walk ahead with it. Don't consider your glass half empty, consider it half full. But judging yourself all the time, why am I repeating this? Why am I this? Why am I that? Is, you know what's happening? You're giving birth to new snakes coming out of your head. Because you're constantly referring to yourself as if you are in control. The teaching brought you to it, touched you. You said, this sounds very good, but I'm not able to implement it. Let it be there. Let it rest there. All you can do is try. But it touched you, right? Because deep down, you know, this is who I am and this is who others are. Let the mind play out its script. It's going to take time. You know, the grooves of the brain need to be re-inscribed. It takes time.
Like people around also, me feels ki sara din to ye sab karti hai, fir kuch change hi nahi hota isme.
So be it. All you can do is try. See, when you learn driving, even though you may get your driving license, you're going to be nervous, especially in heavy traffic. Immediately, you're not going to be the king of the road, right? After some years of practice, you'll be fine. So please allow that time. Being impatient is nice. It's a nice quality also, because you're impatient to be at peace.
Yeah.
So that's a beautiful quality, but that impatience is taking me away from the peace I want to be at.
Yeah, at least listening to your videos, I realized that actually, main kya khoj rahi hu mujhe malum nahi tha, like enlightenment, moksha, nirvana. I don't know, because somewhere this thing was there within me, which I did not know, and it will take me here and there and here and there. Then I followed Jainism, I did Art of Living, you know. And finally, since last 2 years, like, ki main, actually, main enlightenment or moksha nahi khoji thi, which is not important, and I don't even know the truth of it.
Yes.
Because it is somebody else's truth.
Yeah.
So I realized, okay, I was not even looking for happiness. It was like peace, what you said, peace, which is
true happiness. You are looking for that happiness which does not depend on what happens in my life.
Yeah.
Because my life, like everyone's life, is pleasure one moment, pain the other. So what kind of happiness is that worth? So that true happiness, which is always with me, no matter what happens in my life, is shanti. Which is why the Buddha said, samsara is dukkha, nirvana is shanti, but they are not two.
And I love this one.
They are not two. The peace has to be found through the suffering, through the lessons, not away from them.
Also, then I feel, if nothing is in my control, then how I process, how this processing will happen? That mind keeps on playing the dance, like Ramesh says, this is all divine hypnosis, right? So when, to वो जो realize करना है वो कैसे realize होएगा?
Who wants to know? The me wants to realize, basically, its absence. You see how absurd
True.
It is? But it's okay, because that is the nature of the mind. So even when these thoughts arise, you have to allow it. You have to allow the mind to think this way. See, there's nothing to be judged. I said that at the start of the meditation. You have now seen the quality of the mind, that this is what the mind is doing. So be it. By and by, it will sort itself out. But yes, this question has to be asked all the time. Has my perspective on life changed? How I look at people, has it changed? How I look at events in my life, has it changed? Because then you will know where you stand. Am I granting people their beingness, and am I granting myself my beingness? Then you know where you stand. Is the content of my consciousness conflict all the time with people, with events, with situations, with political parties, with countries? Because that is the content of my consciousness.
Mm.
It appears to be out there, but it's what is going on here. So what is the content of my consciousness? What is the quality of that? These questions I can ask and introspect about, because I'm concerned with only my peace.
Yeah, like you said to somebody, like that healing, that like I'm also looking for a resolution in a relationship which has deeply hurt me. But what you said, like that healing happens when internally resolve. Uske saath resolve hoega ki nahi malum nahi.
Yes.
Internal resolving is there or not.
Because it has to be resolved in your own consciousness.
Yeah, and that's not happening.
The healing consciousness, the healing consciousness is the self, the one source consciousness, the unicity. That produces the healing. So yes, if you are very disturbed, would you say you are more disturbed now than you ever were before?
Now?
Yes.
Right now I'm okay.
Not right now. After coming to these teachings, Rameshji's, whatever, are you more disturbed than you were earlier?
No, I'm not more disturbed. The hurt is that, like, now the awareness is there. So the conflict is between ki, you know, what is the truth and what is not the truth, but the truth. I am not living the truth, so that jhamela is always going.
But earlier, even that much was not there, no?
Ta malum hi nahi tha na sahi galat.
Exactly. So the step has been taken. Nobody said it's an easy journey. You know, Maharaj said, be careful of coming onto the spiritual path because it will burn everything down. Everything means what? All these illusions. You've been living in a palace of illusions. That will come burning down. Where you've made yourself the hero of your story.
Yeah.
So, be gentle on yourself. Don't be self-critical, judging yourself too harshly. Just go with the flow by and by, and allow grace and the teaching to also help you. Let it do its job. That which brought you here is not something to be taken lightly. Not just here, I mean to any gathering, any satsang. It's not to be taken lightly. But yes, in any situation you encounter, ask yourself, what has disturbed my peace and where can I find my peace? So you live in Singapore.
Yeah. So I was looking, ki, when can I attend? And then in just within like Friday, within 2 hours, it all happened. And then I came here on Saturday.
It's all a happening.
Yeah.
It's all a happening. It all happened, exactly. You couldn't help it.
That too my husband knows.
There you go.
Thank you.
My name is Samar.
Samar.
Yeah. And the last session here, you had spoken about being oneself. And during that also, you spoke about the surrendering and, you know, some things in the area of surrendering. And you had taken the example of a goat which is tied to a rope. And I think it was in response to someone's question that the goat is in control in that circle. And outside that circle, it is not.
In control means it has free will to graze to the extent of the rope.
Right.
It can't graze beyond the rope.
Right.
To the full extent, within that it can move around.
Right. So in that context now, when I think of surrender, and really the question that comes to my mind is, where is the line? Like, is it absolute surrender? I don't control things that happen every day. Where I find it difficult to draw the boundary on this concept of surrender. So if you could help me understand a little bit more.
Surrender is absolute and total, yet I have to live my life. So when I understand that there's a force which is making this earth revolve around the sun, which is making me breathe, which is making the blood go through my veins, which I have absolutely no control over, and therefore this same force is guiding my life, when I can live this totally, that is surrender. But in daily living, I still have to live my life, which basically means I have to act as if I have free will, knowing that it is actually God's will. I have to act as if I have free will, knowing the results will never be in my control. They've never been in my control, so that is obvious. And knowing that my free will is based on factors like my genetics and my conditioning, which God made. So it's truly not my free will. But yet I have to, when I go into a shop and I want to buy a pair of jeans and I see a black and a blue one, I have to decide. I can't just stand in the shop and the pair will come floating to me. So I have to decide knowing that this body-mind organism has been programmed to like the blue pair of jeans, let's say. So I have to exercise my free will and buy it. So free will starts becoming merely a mechanism of functioning in daily living, but not an obsession. Earlier, it's an obsession, my free will. Now, it is a tool. So the enlightened one realizes this. So the enlightened one does not impose his or her free will on others. He knows it is just one possibility in a field of possibilities which may not yield the desired results based on the cosmic law. This is called living a life of surrender. Knowing all the time that till my last breath, all I can do is exercise my free will, which is not really mine, not obsess over it. It is a tool and I'm free of it.
So the key is to not obsess over your free will.
It's just a function, and it must be a function, otherwise I can't live my life.
Hindsight, if you see, everything is your doing only, right? Like whatever you're getting is just a sum up, or whatever's happening is just a sum up of karma, whatever you did in the past. You're only shaping your own destiny.
So in a way, it's just, you could say, like in hindsight, that whatever's happening is just thing that you shaped your things that you did in past, and it's just how you shaped your own destiny, correct? Like that's how it works, right?
Yeah, I think in hindsight you should come back here and we can have another talk. It's so interesting, isn't it? This is what it is about, the spiritual inquiry. It's really interesting because we are really trying to see the light behind the darkness.
Yeah.
We're trying to see the light behind the darkness, which is what? The darkness of the ego. And that light, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth not, means the light is always there, ever shining. The darkness does not comprehend it, does not mean it is not there. That light is the grace. So beautiful. So you think grace does not come and go. It is you who come and go. Grace is always there. See, when a room which is in darkness, let's say you're in a room, no lights are on. The light is on in the passage outside.
Yeah.
Now you open the door from inside the room. The light is going to come shining in. Where does the darkness go?
It's your free will, right? To go towards that light, right? Isn't it? It's your free will. There are some people who are drawn to the spiritual path. There are some people who are not drawn to spiritual
based on their destiny.
Based on their destiny.
Not based on their free will.
Mm. It's a little confusing, but a lot to comprehend.